has arrived. Empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture.
We're created to build community, created to build the kingdom of God.
There is a power when we step into our role as sons and daughters.
The kingdom of God has not moved forward by good conduct. It's moved forward by good belief.
If you want people to be creative, you got to give them permission to really explore.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast. We're coming to you from the City of Hope, Joplin, Missouri, home of Next Gen Worship, the Unite Worship Gatherings, empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. My name is Clint.
I'm Missy.
And I'm Josh. Speaking of Unite Worship Gatherings, it feels like we just had one over at the Light of Joplin, and now we're going to have another one this week. Coming up Friday and Saturday in Carthage, our first Unite Worship Gathering in Carthage.
Carthage Mo. And Carthage Mo is a famous city in the Midwest.
Oh, yeah, it is. For the Precious Moments Chapel.
Precious That's
Moments.
Right.
The multitudes from every nation, tribe, and tongue, they flock to the Precious Moments Chapel.
My mom collected Precious Moments figurines when I was a little kid. She had them everywhere. Did your mom collect?
No, am I the only person who has thought they were maybe a little bit creepy? Just a tiny bit?
I did. Okay. I had a Precious Moments Bible when I was a little kid, and I didn't want to look at it.
They're kind of sad. They got a little vibe going, but I don't know. Have you guys been to the Precious Moments Chapel in Carthage?
It's been many years, but yes, in the past.
Yeah. No, I've not. No, I've never been. And just so no one gets confused, we are not having our Unite Worship Gathering at the Precious Moments Chapel.
That's
even
a good
though
point.
It is a chapel.
It's going to be held at Bicota.
Yeah.
And so if you want to find out a little bit more about it or sign up for an hour or two, you can go to UniteWorshipGatherings.com and find out where we're going to be playing. We've got it booked out through the rest of the year, except for October, which is our conference. Mm-hmm. And you can get involved and find out where we're going to be. And if you are a facility that would like to host a Unite Worship Gathering, we welcome.
Yeah. These are really cool. And Missy, maybe you can help give us from your perspective what this worship gatherings have been like. We celebrated a year in February, I think, of doing these. And basically, this is maybe if you've heard of a burn, a 24/7 burn started by Sean Foyt a while back. It's kind of like that. It's just a regional worship gathering, but we have a really great community element to it. And we're just finding that it's uniting churches, over 30 churches regularly involved, around 60 worship leaders continually kind of participating in the rotation. And it's 24 hours long. There's no magic number in 24 hours. That's just about the longest we could have consecutively. But they've been really incredible, a little maybe unexpected. It was an experiment, really, right?
Yeah, I think from the very first one, I mean, you could feel the anticipation that people had and something happened. I mean, something was started, something was released. And I felt that, again, the anniversary gathering that we had was so powerful and so prophetic. It was just like being launched into another year. The thing that was so amazing to me when I saw the schedule of upcoming gatherings, you know, in the past, you know, you maybe had one scheduled, maybe two. Something is really happening, I believe, that we're having momentum, like something, you know, there's a little fire gets a little bigger, and all of a sudden, like, it gets out of control, like things around it start catching fire. And to see that we have gatherings scheduled through the end of the year is so exciting at churches and in cities where we haven't had an open door necessarily in the past. It's super exciting to me, and I think it is saying something.
And we really want to encourage everyone to come out and worship. I mean, we were born to worship. This is our calling. This is our a beautiful privilege that we get to come in and connect with one another and worship our Creator together as one body. And that's what we're created to do. So come on out to the next Unite Worship Gathering this Friday and Saturday at Bicota in Carthage, Missouri. Next week on the show, we're going to be talking with TJ Williams about shifting culture through the next generation. Today, we are continuing the conversation with Mark Hendrickson later on in the show about sonship. It's part two of that interview, and we'll be diving into that topic when we come back.
There is a call. We have a mandate as sons of God to release heaven on earth. We're here to grant permission and release world changers in authority, favor, and influence. It is the dawning of a new day. A new era of the kingdom is emerging. We are what the earth has longed for. We are what Jesus died for. Ambassadors of hope, bringing answers to unsolvable problems. We are the body. We are the bride. We are the sons of God.
We are the risen.
to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast,
where we're empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. We try to do that in many different ways. And by we, I don't mean Next Gen Worship. I mean we as sons and daughters of God, advancing the kingdom on planet Earth. So everyone's mandated to advance the kingdom. What we have been mandated to do is do that through consumable media. And that is this broadcast, that is through film and through songs. And
music,
so,
yeah.
And the reason why we can say that so confidently is because we are sons and daughters of our Creator.
Yeah. And we want to talk about that again today. Maybe we should mention Haley's not in the studio with us today. She couldn't make it. Like, she's super important, you know.
Whatever.
Thanks, guys.
I don't know. I mean, she's pretty important, but I don't know if she could really make it.
Okay, this guy has to go home to this woman later. I would be very careful.
So filling in on the show today, Missy Dunson's with us.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so happy to have you. And maybe you can just help us talk through this topic, because this is one of the things that Holy Spirit is doing and building as momentum and reality in the earth, is identity and what it means, not only in our identity, but as a purpose, as a son, as a role. Like, what is he doing? Help us define this. Like, what is in your heart about translating maybe someone from a mentality of God's far away to a mentality of God is living inside of me and actively working through me?
I have to be honest, it wasn't until I had children that I had even more of a revelation in my own heart about being sons and daughters of God, because there is literally nothing that my kids could do. I mean, I might disagree with the choices they make. It might make life difficult sometimes because one of them is four. Super interesting. But it doesn't make him not my son when he does the wrong thing. I mean, there's nothing he could do to make himself not my son, because he's made of me and my blood flows through his body. And we're like that, you know, as sons and daughters of God. Once we're translated from darkness into light, we're made his children. There's nothing that can be done to unmake us his children. His blood's flowing through us. His DNA is our DNA, and it doesn't have anything to do with our performance, our behavior. It was a revelation to me when I had kids.
I was just listening to you talk and thinking of just different things. One of the things that occurred to me as you're talking is that he sees us flawless. Like, when he looks at us, he's actually seeing Jesus.
Yeah.
And whatever he thinks about Jesus, he's thinking about us. And that's the mystery of all of this, is Christ in us.
Yeah.
And it's so powerful. And I really revel in the fact that through this process of gaining a real identity and reality as a son or a daughter in the earth, the thing that strikes me is the earth is going to get better because we're here. And maybe that's not always a correlation that people make between church and the world, because a lot of attitudes in the church concerning the world is, hey, we're going to escape this thing and just let it go wherever it needs to go. But to me, I'm like super excited about the potential of God's sons and daughters to rescue people and rescue the earth itself and make it incredible. I mean, as Jesus taught the disciples to pray, let it be on earth as in heaven. And I just start to get this big picture of heaven becoming one with earth and people's lives getting rescued and making disciples of nations and all that big language that you hear about.
It was originally that way. Earth was like heaven, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And we look at God's original creation and how he formed man and he breathed the breath of life into his nostrils. We were born of God. The human race itself was born of God. And when Adam and Eve were cut off from the garden, they were separated from the tree of life. They were not able to partake anymore. And Jesus came as the tree of life and said, not only can you eat of me, he said, eat of my flesh, drink of my blood. He said, not only can you do that, but you can become part of me. You can be grafted into the tree. I am the vine. You are the branches. You can share sonship. You can share the original plan of God. You can become his dream come true, as this new translation I'm reading is blowing my mind. These phrases, this language, we can actually be joint heirs with Christ. And not only that we come alongside him as his brothers and sisters, but we really become a part of him, that we become a part of Jesus.
I was recently thinking about how we were made in the image of God. And I was thinking about how I have pets. and I love my pets, and I have relationship with my pets, but it's never the same thing as having a relationship with another human being, because we're the same. We're images of each other, and about how God chose to make us in his image, because that's the only way that he could have the kind of relationship with us that he wanted to have. Because if he made us like angels or made us like animals, he couldn't have that same kind of relationship. But we're made in the image of God so that we can enjoy the same kind of fellowship, the only kind of fellowship that Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Father all have together. We're welcomed into that because we're made in his image.
Mm-hmm. I love this thing, and I just recently stumbled across somebody said this, but our story doesn't start like in Genesis 2 with the fall. Like, that's where everybody starts. Our story starts in the beginning, where we were in this paradise and we were in perfect intimacy with God. And honestly, our story of all through the Old Testament and into the redemption story of Jesus for us on the cross, I mean, this is a story of restoration and redemption back to this perfect place, and back to this role even of where God said, hey, take care of this garden and subdue the earth. You know, do this, do that, and subdue this earth. Bring this earth into the destiny that I have for it in my heart. Mm-hmm. Like, he has a dream for the earth, and talk about it.
That's what redeemed means, isn't it? It means to bring back to the original plan. Mm-hmm. It means to bring it back to the very beginning, the very original thing. Something I posted on Facebook, it was a revelation that I had, was Jesus is the revealed image of God, and we are the redeemed image of God. And something happened. The image changed somewhere when Adam and Eve were separated. Mm-hmm. But Jesus took us. We died with him on the cross, and we were resurrected with him in the resurrection. We are now the redeemed image of God that we can together share his image.
Yeah, and I think it's only appropriate that we do take dominion, I guess, as you would, whatever that area of life that we're gifted and called into is. And I think that's something that's really on your guys' heart. But that breaking down of the sacred and mundane, I mean, that you guys have talked about that in the past, that breaking that wall down so that whatever that area is that you're gifted on this earth, we're made in the image of God and we're meant to bring the authority, bring the dominion, bring heaven to earth in that sphere of influence.
Yeah, we say this quite often and been saying it more lately, but we believe everything. Well, this was actually a prophetic moment that we had in the last Unite Worship Gathering, mentioning prophetic moments. I was helping lead worship with another couple, and oh man, I just started having an encounter with the Lord prophetically about this generation and just started singing, you know, everything's going to change in one generation. And that is because of some of these ideas about seeing ourselves and coming to this realization and awakening that we are sons of God, not as just a fact, but as a purpose also, and that we actually have a role in the earth. So maybe you are like out there listening to this going, there has got to be more than this. And we're saying, yes, 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 there is. There's so much more. In fact, you can find out more about what we're doing as far as this mandate in the earth about awakening sons of God, even in worship as a movement, at nextgenworship.com. We'd love to be connected with you, connect with like hearts, and really build momentum in the earth into the next generation as we see really a kingdom explosion, we believe, that's going to be like maybe making history.
Absolutely. It's like finding those estranged family members.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At family reunions, you're like, hey, I met new people, but you know, we're all family. So nextgenworship.com if you want to find out more about what we're doing and join us in our journey. This is a really special week. We had a great interview with Mark Hendrickson last week, and he had so much good stuff to say that we wanted to continue that conversation today. So we're going to be diving into that, the continuation of that interview, part two of Stepping into Sonship with Mark Hendrickson, coming up. Next week, we're going to be talking with TJ Williams. He is a youth leader and a worship leader here in our own region, and we're going to be talking about shifting culture through the next generation. So that's coming up next week. Mark Hendrickson coming up when we come back. What would it look like if a whole city responded in unison to the Lord? What would it look like for a city to love God together? Our worship shifts atmospheres and makes it easier for prisoners to be set free. It's time to unite. Unite Worship Gathering is a regional worship event devoted to an extended period of vertical worship and building community. There's no agenda, no preaching. Our focus is fully on His presence. Regional worship leaders worshiping in the round, and everyone is encouraged to join in as we host the presence of God in a greater way for our region. This month's Unite Worship Gathering is at Bicota Church, 3727 South Garrison Avenue in Carthage, Missouri, starting Friday, July 15th at 7 p.m. through Saturday, July 16th at 7 p.m. Unite Worship Gatherings are hosted by a different church every month. Check the schedule for upcoming dates and to sign up for a 1 or 2 hour time slot at UniteWorshipGatherings.com.
The Next Gen. You're listening to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast, where we're empowering generations to carry heaven and shift culture. Today's broadcast has been all about sonship. It's the second half of the broadcast that we started last week. Because of our interview with Mark Hendrickson, it was so rich and full of great, great wisdom that we decided to go ahead and break it up into two parts. So we'll continue that interview with Mark Hendrickson right now.
Let's talk practically. Let's talk about how do I know if I'm finding myself in a son type relationship. Surely there are some markers, maybe our language, maybe the way we pray. What's some of the main differences you found between prayer life or a language that's reflective of someone who's, you know, stuck in a place of orphan heart or something like that, versus someone who has stepped fully into a son of God identity?
Yeah. Well, I've said this statement quite a few times. If we want to know whether or not we really believe the theology that I'm a son of God, and not just the theology, but the reality, I've got a living, vibrant, pulsating relationship with God that doesn't see myself as you say, an orphan or a beggar or a plaintiff, but I see myself as a co-heir with Jesus, and I truly am seated on the throne. I really, really do see myself. How do I know if I'm really owning that understanding? I think one of the best ways is to listen to ourselves pray. I believe probably that's when we are most honest with ourselves and most honest with God. We're pretty sure we can't hide anything from Him. So that's when we say the words that most reflect what our hearts believe. So if we pray things like, "Oh God, I sure need $100 by Saturday. Would you please come through for me?" Well, that sounds to me like I'm in a beggar, plaintiff, or potentially even orphan mentality. If I believe, on the other hand, that God has given everything pertaining to life and godliness, then I believe then that the result of that belief is that it's already mine. He's already given it to me. Now what my prayer wants to be is not a plaintive asking, but a declaration and a thanksgiving prayer, such as, "Wow, Father, I don't know where this is going to come from. You know I have needs, but you've already got a story in process. What is that story going to look like, Father? It's going to be an amazing story. I am so happy to be walking on this journey with you, Father. You're the best daddy ever, and you've always taken care of my needs. So, Father, wherever that provision is going to come from, I bless that in Jesus right now. I bless it to be released to me so that all my needs are met according to your riches and glory." You see, I didn't ask for one thing. Why didn't I ask for one thing? Because if I would have asked, it would have been redundant. And actually, I say it this way, it would have been beneath the reality of what Father's heart is for me.
Wow.
In other words, already given it to me. So now I need to do one of two things: thank and declare. Declare the blessing, the favor, or the release, or that sort of thing. If you got a moment, I'd like to read a passage in Scripture here, and this is in John 16. We have just a minute or two here?
Sure.
So this is John 16, and I want to make mention that in this passage, Jesus references three different eras of prayer types of praying. Probably not many people have thought of this. But in these verses, John 16, verse 22 through 27, you'll see these three eras. The first era is found in verse 24. It says, "Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Basically, you just cry out. Baby, cry out. We don't know mama, daddy, anything. We just cry. I hurt. I want my diaper changed, and I need help now. Okay? Then, in verse 23, Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, so there's the next era. First era was, you have not asked anything in my name. The next era is, now, ask in my name. The third era, listen to this. This is a crazy one. In verse 23 and 26, he references, he says, in that day, in other words, it's going to be a day somewhere ahead of whenever Jesus is talking. He says, you will ask me nothing. What in the world are you talking about, Jesus? He goes on to say in verse 26, he says, if you ask in my name, I am not saying that I will pray to the Father for you, for the Father loves you. Now, that's a crazy thought. Jesus is saying there will be a day when you will so understand the Father's love that you won't even feel like you have to come through me, because you will believe, you will know that you have the same access to the Father that I have. You are my co-equal. Again, now, I'm not compromising deity. That's a little parenthetical thought there. I'm not compromising his deity. What I'm doing is calling us up into the level, the favor, the stature of what the Word says we are. In fact, in Ephesians 4, it says we grow up in all things, even unto the head. Well, I believe that we may be coming into that day and that age right now where we're understanding the Father's heart better than ever before. And we won't even feel like we need the kind of the lawyer, attorney, Jesus, to have access to the Father. Rather, we'll understand we're the brother of Jesus. We love Jesus, and we're so grateful for Jesus. But we understand Father loves us so well that we have easy access right into his heart. Is that an interesting thought right there? The three eras of praying, where someday, and I believe that day is upon us, we're so confident in Father's love that we enter in boldly, like Hebrews says, come in boldly to the throne of grace.
I love that. That's so incredible. And I'm just marveling at what the world would look like if the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, his people on the earth were all walking collectively in that type of identity and reality. I think the world would be so transformed.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I did was, about 5 or 6 years ago, again, on my little prayer trail, I know exactly where it was on the trail. It just came to me so clearly. I cannot allow myself to pray default religious prayers that, by the way, probably we pray mostly by rote. We have learned familiar prayer passages, prayer phrases, and we kind of fill the air with those familiar prayer passages, and we kind of do them by rote. But the fact of the matter is, we learned those in an era where that was probably the best thing to pray, but now we have a better theology, a better understanding of Father's heart. So now we have to upgrade our prayer style. So what I did was, I laid my hands on my head, literally. I said, brain, I charge you in Jesus' name to notify me when I pray illegal prayers, when I pray prayers that are beneath the dignity and the level of favor that Father has for me. So in other words, when I begin to pray an asking prayer, the typical kind of prayer, like, well, oh, isn't it good to pray in Jesus' name? God, Father, I ask you. I notify my brain. Brain, you have to notify me. You have to tell me when I'm praying an asking prayer. And then what I'm going to do, I'm going to search my understanding to see if I already know what Father thinks about what I am just starting to ask about by default. And so, if I already know what Father thinks, then for me, it's illegal to pray an asking prayer. I need to begin to co-rule with Jesus, because I'm seated with him on the throne. That's what Scripture says. I need to begin to co-rule over that area in my life the same way Jesus would pray. At the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus wept for the people. He felt their loss. And so he empathized and identified with them. Now it came time for him to do some business. So he steps up to the tomb and he prays a prayer. Says, "Father, I thank you that you hear me. Father, I thank you that you always hear me." And then his next phrase says, "Father, I don't pray these prayers for my sake. I pray these prayers for the people's sake." Now, in my opinion, that's a really great insight.
Yeah.
Jesus, right then, had just prayed a people prayer. He had prayed a prayer to try to get people on page with him because he's about to do something that's of the Jesus stature, and he wanted to get them on page with him so that he wouldn't lose them in the journey. And so he prayed a prayer that they were used to praying. He prayed a prayer that they would say, "Oh, okay, he loves his father, and his father hears him, so, okay, he's a good guy." That was a people prayer. The next thing he's going to do is pray a Jesus prayer. He turns to the tomb, and he says with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." He didn't beg the Father. At that point, he's making a declaration. And I believe that that's what he's inviting us to do. As we learn what Father's heart is about each of our circumstances we're about to pray about, I think he's inviting us to begin to pray Jesus prayers. So that's what I did on that day when I laid hands on my head. I said, "Head, you got to notify me when I pray a default asking prayer because I want to grow up into true sonship and I want to have vocabulary and prayer posture and prayer stature, prayer conversation that reflects the same way Jesus would pray."
That's so incredible. That is amazing. Well, as always, we're so happy to have you with us. You're just a pioneer and trailblazer in a lot of these topics. And we believe that, you know, as we kind of explore these areas of truth, that we'll begin to see these realities kind of released into the earth. And, you know, in a few years, we'll probably see the mainstream bigger teachers that we, you know, are real popular kind of adopting these things that we are mining out of God's heart right now. So I just really believe that it's so crucial that we continue to consider these things and really bring them into a reality in our own lives. Real quick, give us some ways people can connect with you. I know you write some great blogs regarding these topics. You've got books and other resources. How can people connect with you online or social media?
I have a Facebook page. It's just my name, Mark Hendrickson. Or you can go to Google and just type in Beyond the Map. That's the title of my blog, Beyond the Map blog, and talk about a lot of these exciting adventures into new understandings, and I think people would enjoy it. So hope to see you and the listeners there.
Awesome. Mark, I really appreciate it, and we thank you for being on with us today.
Clint, you're a hero. As one fellow pioneer to another, I respect what you're doing, and I'm grateful to be in relationship and be able to cheer for you. Blessing.
It's always a pleasure to have Mark Hendrickson on the program with us. I hope you've enjoyed us talking about sonship. It's a topic that we revisit from time to time, and we'll probably do so in the near future. You've been listening to the Next Gen Worship broadcast. To join us in our journey and find out more about how you can get involved, please visit nextgenworship.com. Tune in next week at this same time as we talk with TJ Williams about shifting culture through the next generation. And we'll discuss what's on the Father's heart for our generation and the generations to come.
You've been listening to Next Gen Worship Broadcast.